What's up, everyone? We are so excited to be bringing you this brand new Fresh Out of the Oven podcast. It is going to be absolutely revolutionizing to healthcare all around the country. It is called Essential Oil Healthcare Radio, and it is brought to you by the folks that bring you the Paleo Mama. I am Frank. This is
Jackie.
And we are the Ritzes, and we want to talk to you about all things essential oils. Couple of quick disclaimers before we get this podcast started. First and foremost, by all means, we are going to stay brand-centric, meaning that we will be talking about doTERRA essential oils only. So if you are not a fan of doTERRA essential oils, that's fine. We might make you one. But if you do not want to listen to a doTERRA-centric podcast, by all means, you're welcome to move about the inner space wherever you'd like. But with that also being said, we are going to keep it where it's going to be 100% good to go. You'll be able to use these same terms. You'll be able to use these same things that we're going to talk about to help share this information with your family and your friends in a very confident way, because just like doTERRA says, we want to empower you one drop, one person, one community at a time. So without further ado, let's go ahead and jump right in. We're going to talk about some of the most frequently asked questions that we have received about essential oils over the last 5 years of using essential oils in our home and then introducing them to thousands of people, both online and around our local area here in Western North Carolina. So let's start off with a very first basic question.
Yeah. So what is an essential oil? And I actually underestimated how much people actually know about what an essential oil is. In fact, we were meeting with our orthodontist one time to share more about essential oils with him. And Frank brought,
I brought these articles. I went to the online. I started printing online articles. I had like evidence-based medicine. I was killing it. I was going to go in there and rock it. So I start off. And within the first 30 seconds, I got shut down.
He said, well, I don't even know what an essential oil is.
He said, let me ask the question, what is an essential oil? And I looked right at my wonderful wife and I go, all right, yikes, help me out.
No, you said take it from here because I'm good at that. I'm not good at all the PubMed stuff.
Sure.
You can handle all that. So essential oils are pretty much they come from plants. So think of lavender and roots and seeds and what else? Leaves. They come from, they're the essence of that. So they have been either steam distilled. So it's where you actually take the massive amount of herbs, like let's just say, for instance, peppermint. You take all the peppermint leaves and you throw them into this big steam distiller. And what happens is it separates the oil from the water that's in the plant, and you get what is an essential oil.
Yeah, because oil floats on top of water. Yep. So you're able to take that essential oil that sort of distills up toward the top, and then there's a method to extract that in order to be able to get the pure essential oil. If I could take it back one step, essential oils are all over these plants for a couple of different reasons. Essential oils are found out in nature because they are certain things like an attractant. They bring you know, bugs that they want to have come in and help spread their, you know, I guess for all intents and purposes, their gametes, their things that help them reproduce. And then they also can be an attractant like Jackie just, or excuse me, a deterrent like Jackie just said, meaning that they can also put off an aroma that insect or would-be predator would not want to consume
mold,
that plant.
Or fungus.
And they also work threats. In that regards. They work environmental threats as well. So essential oils are one of the most basic things that we always show people is a microscope. It's an electron microscope, if you will. Very, very, very close imaging of, say, a peppermint leaf. And you can see the actual globules of essential oils as they're being produced by those different pores on the plant in order to create that essential oil for the plant.
Mm-hmm. And the one thing that they are very potent. So they're usually about 40 to 60 times more potent than the herbal counterpart. So, for instance, peppermint, you know, you're going to have a drop of peppermint essential oil is like 40 times more potent than just using the leaves of the peppermint plant. You know, both have its benefits, you know, as a budding herbalist and also an essential oil educator. I appreciate all parts of the plant, you know, including the herbs and including the essential oils. but both can be used in various different ways. So we're going to focus just on using the essential oils therapeutically. And I think that you guys are going to really, really fall in love with all the incredible ways that you can use essential oils. And one of the things that me and Frank always say is that, you know, we are Bible-believing, God-fearing people. And so we don't believe that God left this earth without the medicines that we need on it. We just got to tap into the resources that he's given us, and that is the form of plant medicine. And so that's why we have really grown to love essential oils, and also so many different other ways that we love it, and reasons is, you know, it's handy. You can always have them. I don't always have cardamom pods to put in my coffee, but I love putting a drop of cardamom in my coffee every single morning. So just so many ways that you can use them is one of the main reasons why we really, really love sharing more about essential oils.
Here's a fun fact about essential oil use is that, did you know that actually about 300 or more of our modern medicines have a basis in a plant? And what they do is they just, when they pharmaceutically make them in a lab, you're just adding on different chemical groups in order to be able to get a desired effect inside of the body. So plant medicine has been around for literally hundreds to thousands of years. And the only reason why it may seem a little bit different is because it's finally showing a resurgence again here in America. So every single day, you can use these with confidence in a overall healthy lifestyle environment. So question number two that we always get is, how do we even use them?
Mm-hmm.
So essential oils can be used three different ways. They can either be used aromatically, which means that we put them into the air by the use of like a diffuser. We can use them topically, or we can use them internally. Now, doTERRA does have a specific process. It is an 11-step process that allows us as the users to use these essential oils if we can so consider in an internal environment effectively. That is a personal choice that we have made, but guess what? We're one of 6 million people that currently use doTERRA in an environment where we consider internal use. To me, scientifically, if you're going to use it topically and or even aromatically, you are internalizing some of that oil. So the age old comment about, you know, utilizing essential oils in that way, you know, we consume essential oils through our foods that we eat every single day as well. So essentially we have been, around essential oils for all of our life. And so we are assured that by this standard that we really appreciate the essential oils that we use with doTERRA.
So the first one Frank said was aromatically, and that's pretty much breathing it in. So when you inhale an essential oil, the molecules that are in that oil, they go into the back of your nostril, into your body, and that way you're able to, you know, that's a very powerful way to use essential oils for a various amount of uses, specifically emotionally, and also for the therapeutic use of like respiratory support. You know, those are some really great ways that you can use oils just by breathing them in. And now I know many of you probably have an essential oil diffuser sitting at home. Turn that thing on. That's another very powerful way to use essential oils. I love my diffuser because it's almost like the lazy way to use oils. I don't have to sit my kids down and grab a carrier oil, grab the essential oil and rub it on their back. I can just put my diffuser on in the kitchen as they're eating breakfast. And I know that they're getting those immune boosting properties of, say, On Guard, you know, which is our protective blend. They're breathing those in. And so as they go about their day, their immune system is already top notch because of me just diffusing On Guard. So those are the main ways that we use essential oils aromatically, but you can also use it through direct inhalation. And that's where you pretty much just place a drop of oil on your hand, or you can just breathe it directly out of the bottle. Cup your nose, put your hands around your nose, and just take a really, really deep breath of that oil. That is a very powerful way to get the oils into your body. And it almost sends a message directly to your body that says, hey, here's the oils, start your power.
If I may, I'd like to add about the whole, you know, benefit of using them by inhalation or even aromatically is that what we're talking about is being able to change your emotions. There's a lot of evidence out there in terms of when we inhale something, we can activate the area of the brain known as the limbic system. And the limbic system is a very powerful tool that I'm very grateful that we actually have as human beings. It is the one that helps protect us. It gives us feelings of fear or excitement. And it actually relates a lot to our memories. And so, like, I always liken this to when I was playing football back in high school or whatever, the freshly mowed grass on my football field always makes me nostalgic when I go by a freshly mowed patch of grass. I always think of Friday Night Football because that was the smell that I associated with that particular memory. And so it could be the same for everybody.
Every time we use oregano, I actually think of our Sundays growing up with pasta.
Yeah,
my
absolutely.
Mom made spaghetti every single Sunday. And so every time I smell that aroma, it kind of brings me back to those childhood memories.
Now, the downside about it is that it can work against you as well.
Yes.
Of course, there could be a smell that triggers a negative emotion.
Yep.
And what we want to do is we want to understand what that is. And it's going to be a personal effort sort of thing. But here's the good news. The oils that may trigger that negative, they usually have a complementary oil that actually cause the positive emotion instead. So it's a really great way for you to be able to sort of manage your emotions through the use of aromatherapy.
So the second way that he said was topical usage. This is because essential oils are fat soluble. So that's kind of their chemical compound means that they are really readily absorbed and they enter the bloodstream pretty quickly when you apply them directly. And this is why, you know, we are huge advocates of using only therapeutic grade essential oils, because your skin is the largest organ on your body. And so when you apply essential oils topically, they are entering your bloodstream, 30 seconds? If you apply them on the bottom of your feet, where you have really large pores, they enter your bloodstream really quickly. So this is a really great way to use oils if you have isolated areas on your body that are, you know, have inflammation or areas of, you know, concern that you want to apply the oils directly. Or even if you have some minor skin irritations, or you are struggling with, you know, aging signs and you want to use essential oils to combat that. So that's some really great ways that you can use oils topically. Any other ways?
No, just a couple of things that I know that we're going to get into is, like, you know, the use of carrier oils. We always want to make sure that we use a carrier oil if we're brand new to essential oils, because
So
a carrier oil, yeah, I don't want to necessarily take that for granted. So carrier oil could be something as simple as what we call fractionated coconut oil, which is a very fancy name for essentially what has been done is the parts that make coconut oil come to a solid. You know, if it gets below about, it's like usually like 72 degrees, that'll make it a solid. Those parts have been removed, and then this oil will stay a liquid for the rest of the time. So you can use that all the time. You can use different things. People have used, you know, avocado oil,
almond oil.
Coconut oil. You know, you can use whatever.
Grapeseed.
What that does is that allows the oil to be, you know, mixed into a way of creating what is called a dilution. And so it's really nice to be able to utilize one drop and say a teaspoon or more, usually of a carrier oil, and you're going to get a better surface area coverage, you know, and then it helps decrease the sensitivity that you may end up getting if it's like an oil that you're not used to or if you used for the first time. And so those are some of the ways we like to use them topically. We also can consider massaging it into the skin. You can use a moist compress. Those are always really nice
even
as well.
Putting them in your bath with Epsom salt or some milk, that's another really good way to use them topically. You can apply them to your reflex points, your nerve endings that are in your hands and your feet. Articular therapy, you can also, or what is it?
Auricular therapy. Yeah.
Which is applying them to, you know, the rim and the parts of your ears. As in reflexology, we know that all of these areas connect to different organs in your body. And so, you know, why do we recommend putting them on the bottoms of your feet? Because that will touch every single organ in your body, the same as applying them down your spine. You know, every single organ in your body, the reflex in reflexology touches that part. So you cover everything. And so why not cover all the bases?
Absolutely. One last way that you can use essential oils is internally. And so the internal usage technique, that absolutely is one that will always remain to be controversial. We say by and far it is a total 100% personal choice. The reason why we say that is because we have used it now for the last couple of years and been completely fine with it. We think it's a very good way to use them. But really what we want to make sure is the take-home point is, number one, you do your own personal research, make your decision on that. But number two is that always use a reliable essential oil company. And that's why we went with doTERRA, because they use 11 different ways to be able to test these oils against certain things like pesticides and heavy metals. They determine if there's any bacteria, viruses, fungus, anything like that present in the essential oil, because then the essential oil will not be used and sold out on the market. And so it's really nice to be able to know that we're getting an essential oil that is safe for internal usage.
And if you are going to buy an essential oil and it says therapeutic grade, I want to warn you that any company can label their oils as therapeutic grade. There is no governing agency that overlooks the essential oil companies and gives them the stamp of approval for, you know, being a therapeutic grade. So that is why whatever company you are using oils with, that you make sure that they are testing their oils in many, many different ways to, you know, to combat all those things that Frank just listed out. So we feel completely fine using doTERRA essential oils internally. You're only internalizing a drop at a time. And we do recommend to put it inside of a gel capsule. You know, you can buy veggie capsules through your doTERRA membership and add a drop to it and then top it with olive oil. And this makes it go down into your tummy smoother. It helps, you know, your stomach not to get upset from any of the essential oil. And so that's how we recommend that you use essential oils internally.
Now, I just want to make one quick mention about the way that essential oils are listed is that the FDA has a list, and that's called the GRAS list, G-R-A-S, and that means generally recognized as safe. And so we make sure, like, you know, all these products that doTERRA makes, they pride themselves on making sure that they end up on the GRAS mm-hmm. list in order to, you know, ensure confidence, if you will, for anybody who desires to consume them.
And you definitely can't use every single one of your essential oils internally. You need to make sure that you look on your bottle and it'll tell you the supplemental facts, and it'll also tell you put one drop in 4 ounces of water or something like that. Make sure before you take any oils internally that you do check your bottle just to make sure that it is safe to be used internally.
Very good. All right, let's move on to how do we store and how do we, we've been talking about safety throughout this, but we'll talk about, you know, how do you store them?
So the best way to store your essential oils, and what's really cool is that, you know, in some of my herbal studies that I'm doing, they're finding essential oils and herbs and infused herbs that have been stored for hundreds of years, and they're still okay. So the best way to store your essential oils is, one, they already come in a dark bottle. doTERRA's bottles are amber glass, and so they're already in a very dark bottle, which is, you know, very important. Second, keep it out of direct sunlight. So I know you want to put your oils up on display, and it's really pretty to put them up on a windowsill, but don't do that, okay? Put them in a cabinet or put them out of direct sunlight, because the sunlight can kind of ruin the oils faster.
Yeah, it can actually change. Well, it can change the, it changes the chemistry, if you will.
There you go.
That's what it does.
What else, honey?
Well, I wanted to make mention, since we are talking about the whole, I did talk about the storage and safety. We also want to talk about citrus oils, because citrus oils, I think, need to be spoken to in a very specific way. Most of the essential oils, like Jackie was talking about earlier, are steam distilled. Citrus oils are actually cold pressed, like think like a cold pressed juice. All of the main portions of the essential oil in a citrus fruit are actually in the peel. So that's why when you first start peeling like an orange, the very first smell that you get is that orange smell, because it's right there resident in that peel. And so by mention of that, I want to make sure that if you are going to use citrus oils, especially if you're going to use them in a topical sense, that you don't go out into direct sunlight for at least 12 hours after the use of a citrus oil, because there is this terminology. I don't necessarily love to use the word toxic unless I'm talking about how to remove toxins, but it is called phototoxin, and it actually may in fact discolor the skin to like a different shade of purple. So we always tell people be careful about utilizing citrus oils and then going out in direct sunlight.
Okay. That was random.
Very random, but I think very much needed to be said, because I wanted to, because this was all grouped in the whole storage and safety portion of the
family. Okay, so back to storage. So you also want to make sure that you are not touching the top of your bottle when you're taking a drop out. That is, you know, your hand bacteria will get on it, and it, you know, it can change your essential oils or cause them to go rancid or maybe a little bit faster. Also, don't get any water inside of your bottle either. And screw your cap on super tight, because air as well getting into the bottle can cause it to, you know, go
it
bad.
Causes
quicker.
It to do something called flash off. It
there
can
you
cause
go,
it
flash off.
Off. Yeah.
He's good with all like the science-y terms.
All right, I've got another
I've got another
completely random thought about the whole usage. This wraps everything up, and I wanted to talk about phototoxicity, which we just did, and then I want to talk about, you know, essential oil use on the body topically. We want to make sure that we stay away from something called mucous membranes as well.
Yes.
So we don't want to like get essential oils directly in our eye. We don't want to put them in our nose necessarily. Like, we don't want to put them in any of those nether regions that are sensitive. We want to make sure that we stay away from any of those.
Perfect.
So moving on to the next question. All right. Why does quality matter? And where do we source our oils from?
Okay. You want me to answer it?
Absolutely. She's smarter about this than I am.
So my favorite way to describe why quality matters is to tell you a story. So this is a story that I heard from Sarah Jansen, who's a presidential diamond in doTERRA, when she was teaching a business training, and I loved it. It's been stuck with me ever since. So it's like walking into, I love Mexican food. I know a lot of people on here love Mexican food. It's like walking into a Mexican restaurant, like a really good, authentic one, you know, and you have somebody come into your table making guacamole. You've got fresh made salsa. In fact, they have a garden out back where they grow their own tomatoes and their own cilantro and their own onions, you know, and they have the tortilla lady over there, you know, smacking the tortillas fresh made. That is doTERRA. Everything that is made, all the quality is so top notch, you know, and then across the street, you got Taco Bell. And that is all other essential oil brands that really don't value quality and the importance of it. So quality is very, very important. It's just like eating good food. You know, why do we recommend people to go to farmers markets and to buy organic and to eat non-GMO? It's the same thing. So quality is super important, because it changes all the therapeutic ways that you can use the oils. You know, I would never, ever recommend somebody to take or to even put on their body an essential oil that they just get from the grocery store, you know, because we know that it has all these other things added to it. It's not 100% pure. So to me, that's how I explain quality. I'm sure Frank's going to have a way more sciencey term.
No, not at all. I think that was fantastic. What I will though do is I want to talk about sourcing. And so quality and sourcing kind of go hand in hand, because I have the luxury, if you will. I've been blessed to be able to be go back to school and get a degree in agricultural education. So my master's in agricultural education, we talked a lot about sustainable agriculture. And doTERRA prides himself on sustainable agriculture. Most of the oils that we use are actually not even sourced here in the United States. They are actually sourced from different countries. A lot of those countries are developing third countries, like third world countries. And so there's a twofold reason why we do this. I'm a big proponent of local regional food. I think that by supporting your local farmers markets, great way to spend your food dollars, because it stays in that regional local system, and then you're able to get even more products from those farms for the future, because they have those good resourcing tips and tricks in mind. Well, That's what I love about, you know, how doTERRA sources their oils is that they actually try to keep those dollars. They give a fair market price for those essential oils that are made in those countries. And a lot of those dollars are used right there in those local villages at times for those individuals who are responsible for sourcing the parts of the plant that we use to make those essential oils. So the sustainability model is unbelievable. I think it's top notch. It's world class. And they have that in mind. And so the lemons, for example, that are used to make lemon oil for doTERRA. Those lemons come from Corsica, which is in Italy. The environment in Corsica, Italy is bright sunshine, good temperate environment, something that lemons can thrive in. Citrus plants do very well in an environment like that. On top of that, then they give the type of essential oil from those lemons, of which are of therapeutic value. So if those same lemons were, say, grown in, I don't know, I'm going to do something crazy, Antarctica, if you could somehow grow a lemon tree in Antarctica, you are definitely not going to get the same therapeutic benefit or chemical profile out of that lemon tree that you would if you grew it in something like Corsica, Italy.
Yeah, it's like, why buy your wine from, you know, somewhere in the United States Absolutely. When you can get it from France?
When I think of avocados, I think of only Mexico or yeah. California is where I would like to get my avocados from, because I know those are the environments in which those plants particularly
grow. And everything
grow well.
Affects the essential oil, even the, you know, the range and the levels of which it was grown.
Yeah,
you
totally.
Know, how high is the elevation?
Yeah.
When did they harvest it? Because like Frank said, there is this thing called flash off. Which, you know, how do you describe flash off?
Flash off is just, essential oils are volatile aromatic compounds, meaning that they're active, right? And so they react with different environmental conditions and stressors that are put on them as well. And so when you open up something or you place it on your skin or you drop it on the skin or whatever, there is a tendency for some of that volatility to flash off yeah. of the essential oil.
And it's like, you know, I'm a gardener and we harvest our tomatoes in the morning. You know, that's when you harvest them. So, you know, the same with essential oils. You know, when are they collecting the Roman chamomile flowers? Are they collecting them in the afternoon because that's when they're paying people to collect them? Or do they wait until the morning or the early morning where there'll be less flash off and all of that aromatic compound goes into the distiller, which goes into your essential oils?
Very good. Let's move on to another one so we can wrap this up for this session. We'll do, why are some brands more expensive than others? So the reason why is because I think about it like this. We love analogies, by the way, between the Ritzes. And so if I walk onto a Mercedes, I'm just going to throw a nice car example out there. I walk into a Mercedes dealership, I'm not going to be looking for Honda Prius. And the reason why, both of those cars are great, but the reason why I say that is because you need to be going out and looking for and purchasing what you want. And so I'm not necessarily describing doTERRA as the Cadillac of oils, but you know what? I feel like it's the Cadillac of oils. I think like of all the other essential oils that we have used in the past, and we use many for probably the past decade.
10,
and,
12 years.
And so I would offer to you that we know the quality once we first opened up that essential oil bottle. We knew, like, I could tangibly feel an improvement in my family's health. And I actually was not the one that introduced essential oils to the family. Of course, it was Jackie. And so I just knew that there was something going on there, and I just had to find out more about it. And so that's why we urge you, find out some more about it as well. We're here for questions. We love comments. We love questions. We just want to help you understand that you get what you buy or you get what you pay for. And so if you want to do value oils and that's your thing, do it. But if you want to do a really good top-notch oil that you know is going to be safe and effective for your family and friends, that's why we would do it. That's why we went with something like doTERRA.
Yeah, if you want a high therapeutic grade like doTERRA, I mean, like Frank said, I don't know if you caught it, doTERRA tests their oils in 11 different ways. All of that takes extra money, but I would rather pay that right now instead of paying for my health later. So that's why we choose to pay up front to keep ourselves healthy, you know, so later on in life, we're not covered in all these different kinds of bills. So That's one of the main reasons why.
Is the main reason why we went with doTERRA.
That is the main, yeah.
Because we really wanted to make sure. And then we found out certain things like their philanthropic ventures with something called Healing Hands Foundation is amazing.
And their co-impact sourcing.
They're one of the only companies that has this new website called Source2You. I saw that Jackie brought it up real quick. Source2You is a website that'll let you know where that oil was sourced from. There's a batch number on the bottom of the oil. You can actually look that up in Source2You, and it'll give you the supply chain of what has happened with that essential oil. And now they put the GCMS reports which are
on source2you.com,
which is a way of saying GCMS is a fancy acronym. It stands for gas chromatography, mass spectrometry, but literally GCMS is sort of the fingerprint of what an essential oil should look like. You look at it by the different, what is called constituents in that oil. And based on that, you should have a certain percentage of constituent within that oil. I'm not a chemist, and so therefore I'm not going to pretend that I am, but it's nice to see that those types of reports are also available to those that want to know.
And I'm gonna ask Frank the last question, which is on our list. Let me see if he can answer it. Why aren't doTERRA essential oils labeled organic?
So thankfully, I do know the answer to that.
I forgot to write this down, but everybody asked me this. So
I think that this is a very fair way to finish out our time for today. We're at about the 30-minute mark, so I think that if you're listening to this on the way to work, have a wonderful day, things like that. But let's go ahead and end it with why isn't doTERRA labeled organic? Well, the organic process to me, as a farmer, is actually a process in which I see some capitalization going on with it. And so if I go to a store and I see something labeled organic, yes, it does in fact make me want to buy that product more than if I buy its counterpart directly on the same shelf. But when I find out where it's sourced from, it makes me very leery to want to do that because it could be coming from thousands of miles away. Yes, it's on an organic farm, but it's thousands of miles away, which goes against my personal opinion of local regional food. So with that being said, these oils are sourced, like I said, from developing countries and countries from all over the planet. They're going to have different standards of what they would consider organic than the USDA standards of what's labeled organic here in America. And so for anybody to try to jump through those hoops of trying to label something organic that has an international source, they're going to be chasing their tail and they're going to be spending way too much money to do that.
Especially because doTERRA sources from over 40 different countries.
Yeah, of which about half or more than half are developing. So they may not even have a governmental structure
right. That
says, yes, we can label these as organic.
Yeah.
So that's the bottom line is that I love to use this term beyond organic because I feel like that is what we are getting when we purchase doTERRA essential oils is that, yes, they go through the same testing. If you look at what organic testing is versus what doTERRA does, I would be very happy to say that you will be impressed and appreciate and confident the fact that it's not just the organic testing that goes on, but it really is some additional testing that goes on to make sure that they're safe for our family. Hey everyone, if you enjoyed that podcast that you just heard, please make sure that you mash on that subscribe button. We also have another podcast that we're running with Frank Ritz, who is a combat veteran of the U.S. Army, and he wants to talk to you about what he's calling unconventional wellness. So are you interested in getting better sleep, focusing on good nutrition, getting out and moving, and being able to manage the toxins in your life, then that podcast is for you. So check it out, Unconventional Wellness Radio. And you can listen to us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, even Spotify will be coming very soon. Hope to catch you over there, and we'll catch you on our next podcast.